few years ago, as most of you know, our daughter Crystal lives in Bundaberg. And a few years ago, she came down one evening, very unexpected, and rather a mess. And she shared with Heather and I the issue that was really bothering her. And she was crying and, you know, emotionally really, really wound up. But, you know, she was in our room, and she came out with a statement that has really struck me ever since. She said, "Mum and Dad, I don't want to be God's girl. I want to be God's girl." She wants to love God with all her heart. She wants to be God's girl. And you know, this morning we, as Heather has just indicated in this on the front of our bulletin, we want to look at God's love. But also this morning, I'm going to look at the the life of John, the Apostle John. And he mentions on five occasions that he doesn't say, "I'm John." He says, "I'm the disciple Jesus loved." In verse 10 of what Heather just said, it says this: "This is real love. It is not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sin." Also in verse 8 it says, "God is love, not love is God." A world with a shallow and selfish view of love has turned these words around and contaminated them, our understanding of love. The world thinks that love is simply what makes us feel good, and it is all right to sacrifice our moral standards and other rights of others to obtain such love. This is not real love. It's actually selfishness. Real love is like God, who is holy, just, and perfect. Remember in the Old Testament, and as a lot of you know, I love the Old Testament. In Exodus chapter 20, God gave Moses the Ten Commandments up on Mount Sinai. These were actually God's instructions to the people of Israel to love him. He gave the law, and the law says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul." So the law says we must love God. But in the New Testament, God shows us his love through grace. Grace is God loving us. There's a big difference, isn't it? In the law, it says you love God. Grace says, "I love you. God loves you." Remember John 3:16, we all know it so well, don't we? "For God so loved the world that he gave." And that's important. He loved us. He took the initiative to make a way back to him through the Lord Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, it says, "May you have the power and understanding, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep, how love, I'll go through it again. How wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love really is. May you experience that love of Christ, though it is so great you'll never fully understand it. Then you'll be filled with the fullness of life and the power that comes from God." As I said at the beginning of this message, we are looking at God's love and his grace. God loving us so much that he gave us his son. So now let's look at a guy, one of the disciples, John, who describes himself as the one Jesus, as the disciple Jesus loved. On five different occasions, he mentions these words in his epistle. So what was his secret? Will you turn with me to John chapter 13? We're going to look at these five occasions where John says the disciple Jesus loved. On this occasion, they're in the upper room at the Passover feast. And the disciples are all lying around this table, celebrating the Passover feast. It was the Last Supper. And Jesus said these words to them. Verse 21. After he said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, "I tell you the truth, one of you is going to betray me." His disciples stared at one another, at a loss to know which of them he meant. One of whom, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, "Ask him which one that he means." Leaning back against Jesus, he asked, "Lord, who is it?" And Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." Then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot. John describes himself as the one who Jesus loved. No doubt Jesus loved all the disciples, but John had a special bond with Jesus so much, like a mother with her baby. You know, I had the privilege of seeing all four of our kids born, and one of the amazing things that I couldn't really get over was the fact that, you know, the little one was born, more than likely screaming its head off. I want to go back in there. It's a lot more comfortable. But, you know, the nurse would wrap the baby up and then lay the baby on Heather's chest. And more often than not, the baby quietened down straight away. On one occasion, I forget which one it was, Heather put the baby to the breast, and I thought, well, you've been there, done that before, because it started sucking straight away. But isn't it amazing how that bond, the baby knew mum's breath, the baby knew mum's heartbeat, and the baby was bonded straight away. And it's the same with us. In the message, it says that John was actually leaning on Jesus' shoulder. That's how close he was. He was leaning on Jesus' shoulder. And so John had this divine intimacy with the Lord Jesus. It was like he was bonded to him. He was so close. And so he writes in his letters, in his epistle, the disciple that Jesus loved. He wanted to have that intimacy that was so close day in, day out. On the second occasion, John writes this. It's actually at the cross. John chapter 19. Let's look at it. Must have been I've never seen them, and I don't know whether I want to see it, actually, the movie, what was it, the Passion, because, you know, it must have been horrendous. And we find that Jesus there hanging on the cross, going through terrible, terrible pain. And it's the worst way to die, apparently, to be hanging on the cross where you virtually suffocate. And in verse 25, we read these words. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother there and his disciple whom Jesus loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, the disciple took her into his own home. You know, up to this point, the disciples, most of them had cleared out. They'd seen Jesus I've lost one of my notes. They'd seen Jesus in the garden, taken away by soldiers. And Peter followed Jesus to his trial, but he tried to hide in the crowd. When challenged, he denied Jesus three times. But here we find John with Mary, his mother, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw them there, he said to John, "John, here's your mother. Mum, here's your son." And in a way, Jesus was giving John a job. He had a spiritual employment. He had to share his love with Jesus' mother. And you know, in a way, when we come to know the Lord Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, we're in spiritual employment as well. We want to share what God has done for us as we go about our daily lives. And the first thing John had was a divine intimacy, and now he has divine spiritual employment. The third time John mentions himself as one who Jesus loved was when Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. I remember when she got there early in the morning, she found that the tomb was empty. So she went back to where the disciples were. And to their amazement, they told her, "The tomb's empty, the stone's been rolled away. He's not there." So Peter and John hightailed out to where the tomb was. And they were running. And, you know, I wonder what was going through their minds. Was it amazement? Was it fear? Wondering who's taken him? Where is he? What's happened? We find in John chapter 20 and verses 1 to 9 that John, when he got to the tomb, John stopped and he looked. And he could see the linen folded up and the tomb was empty. But when Peter got there, he went straight in. And he too saw that the tomb was empty. In John chapter 20 and verses 8 and 9, it says this. Finally, the other disciple, that was John, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside, and he saw and he believed. They did not understand that from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. But John, he began to make spiritual progress. He began to believe. He began to understand. And in the following days, he began to understand the Scripture Jesus had been teaching them for the last 3 years. Right, and imagine that as they ran, many things were running through their minds. But John began to understand the things that Jesus had said. Today, we have the Holy Spirit who can open things up to us. As we read his word, we can understand what God's saying to us. And so, the fourth time that John mentions that himself as the one who Jesus loved was in chapter 21. After Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, it happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Demas, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, James and John, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter says to them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat. And that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was him. Jesus called out to them, "Friends, have you any fish?" They said, "No." He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And as soon as Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. We're a fishing village here, and I guess there's many, many times we've gone out and we've jolly well caught nothing. More often than not, if I go fishing, I either get seasick or I catch nothing. But yeah, we all know what it's like. But can you imagine the disciples, and now most of them were professional fishermen, quite a few of them, and they caught nothing. And in the early morning mist, in the semi-darkness, they could see a guy out on the beach, not far from where they were. They couldn't recognize him, but they heard him call out, "Have you caught anything?" "Nope." "Well, throw the net over on the right-hand side." You know, my reaction would have been, "Well, what do you know, sunshine?" So they threw the net over on the right-hand side, and they caught fish. But you know, John, whom Jesus loved, he immediately realized, hey, that's somebody special. It's Jesus. And he said to Peter, "Hey, you know who that guy is over there? It's Jesus." You know, he had spiritual and divine perception. He realized that there's a Messiah there. Those fish weren't there a minute or two ago, but they're there now. And you know, as I was thinking about this, you know, I don't know how you get on at times, but sometimes I've been in situations where, you know, you don't know which way to go, what to do. But something inside of you says, you know, go this way. That's crazy. You know, no, that's not the right. That just cannot be right. And so you think about it, and you go and do whatever it is. Last night I was trying to think of an instance, but for the life of me, I can't. But I know it's happened quite a few times. And, you know, I've gone off and done something or other, and it turned out to be the wrong thing. And what was being said in my head was what should have happened. And, you know, I've realized on quite a number of occasions that it was actually God saying something to me. Look, that's the way to go. Divine perception. Being able to listen to God. You know, a few years ago, Heather and I were in dire circumstances, and I was actually driving my truck from the neighbour's place down to our house a few hundred metres away. And we're out at Chatsworth and financially and really on the rocks. But I had a few cows, and you know, God said to me in the truck, I was the only one there, and this voice said to me, "Sell your animals." That day we were picking beans, and one of my bean pickers came up to me, and he said to me, he said, "Bruce, are you interested in selling your cows?" I said, "Yeah, I am." He said, "Well, you've got a cow with two calves." He said, "Sell the big calf and I'll buy the cow and calf, the other two." And that week, we had a debt, Heather and I had a debt of something like $1,100. And we didn't quite get our $1,100, but I tell you what, it took the pressure off. God's amazing, isn't he? You know? And here was John. able to recognize a special person. He has spiritual perception. And the fifth time, John, and it was straight after having breakfast with the Lord Jesus there on the beach. Jesus took Peter aside. And he was just walking up the beach, talking to Peter, and he said, "Peter, do you really love me?" "Yes, Lord, I love you." "Peter, do you really love me?" "Yes, Lord, I love you." And the third time he asked Peter, "Peter, do you really love me?" And Peter was rather grieved by this statement. "Lord, you know everything. I really, really love you." And then Jesus said to him, "Well then, Peter, you follow me. Follow me." And at that moment, Peter turned around, and just a few meters behind was John. And Peter said to Jesus, "Well, what about him?" And Peter said, and Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, it doesn't matter about John. If John's going to be here and until the day that I come back again, what's that to you? You follow me." John faithfully followed the Lord Jesus. And so we see John, he had divine intimacy. He had spiritual employment. He made spiritual progress. He had quick perception. And he also faithfully followed the Lord Jesus day by day. You know, friends, that's what God wants us to do day by day. And I know I've mentioned this quite a few times, but if you look very briefly in Genesis chapter 3, you find that Adam and Eve are in the garden. And God came in daily to share fellowship with them. And friends, that's what God's desire is for you and me. To daily have fellowship with you and me, day in, 24/7. God's love for us is boundless. His grace covers us despite our human failings. And my prayer is that each one of us will reflect God's love for us so much that others will desire to know him as we do. And that's a real challenge, isn't it? And so, it's tremendous to look at John and to remember that he knew that he was loved by God, by the Lord Jesus, and that his grace abounds no matter his failings day in, day out. God's grace abounds for us, for him on that day, and for us right now. Amen.